Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Patrick, Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Patrick, and a very special guest from across the Atlantic Ocean, Father Colum Mannion of the Irish province of Dominicans. He's assigned to St. Saviour in Dublin, and he's currently studying at the House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Let's start today with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Now, we're very happy to have an Irish Dominican here, because the Irish province of Dominicans is very close to our eastern province here. We were known as because we had so many priests of Irish descent in this province in America, we were known as the second Irish province. And so we're happy to have someone from the first Irish province to join us. And we thought that we would talk about Ireland in the church today. So when you think of Ireland in the church, the first thing you think about is St. Patrick. So Father Colum, is the St. Patrick, is the celebration around St. Patrick's Day similar in Ireland as it is in America?
In many ways, yeah. First of all, just to say many thanks for inviting me here. And it's wonderful to be here in Columbus for the first time. And indeed, a great honor to be studying with the Dominicans here in the United States. And certainly coming to the Dominican province here in America, it was very much like coming back home. So, some very strong Irish connections here. So I've certainly been made feel very welcome. St. Patrick's Day, I've been here in the U.S. for St. Patrick's Day last year. And in some ways, it felt like home, yeah. I mean, it's solemnity back in Ireland. We celebrate it. It's St. Patrick, of course, is the patron for the country. So we've huge devotion to St. Patrick, and being here on St. Patrick's Day last year, it felt. I mean, this is the beauty of our faith. No matter where you are, you celebrate your faith, and it's part of the church. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, in every country, Catholicism has a slightly different culture because the culture of the Catholics there are a little different. So the church in France is a little different than the church in America versus England versus Germany versus Italy. What's distinctive about the Catholic culture in Ireland?
If you were to look at the tradition of the church in Ireland, I would think what would really characterize it would be the devotion of the people and also the missionary zeal. You know, that the Irish people had this great desire to spread their love for our Lord and for the saints and for the Blessed Mother. You know, that they had this burning zeal for the Catholic faith, and it was something that they wanted to spread, that to make it known, and they wanted to talk about it. They wanted to pass the gift of faith, and we see this in the history of the Irish Church, how people would leave the country and travel across Europe and indeed around the world, with that, you know, making that heroic sacrifice to spread the faith. So whether that's still there now in Ireland, I think it is. I mean, certainly the church in Ireland has changed in many, many ways over the past few years. But I think there is still that missionary zeal within the Irish Catholics today, that they still have this desire to talk about their faith and to make it known. I think they appreciate the fact that when you have the gift of faith, it's a treasure. Our faith is a treasure. It's a gift given to us by God, and if we don't use it, if we don't spread the gift of faith, we'll slip into, you know, into unbelief, or let it slide. But when we give our faith, we grow in our faith, and I think this is something that the Irish people were very much aware of. And even today, even though perhaps maybe the church may not appear to be as strong as it was in the past, I think those who have the gift of faith appreciate all the more just how precious that gift is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Father Colmar, I know I was talking with you before about that you're writing a dissertation for Licentiate and Sacred Theology, and one of the people you're writing about is Frank Duff, who is the founder of the Legion of Mary. Maybe you could talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the work I'm doing here in the U.S., at the moment I'm writing on the contribution that Irish theologians made to the dogma of to the doctrine of the Church as the mystical body of Christ. And basically what got me thinking was I was taking a course in Washington, D.C. with one of the Dominican professors, and he was recommending some books to me by on Catholic spirituality. In particular, he mentioned a book by Eugene Boylan and Edward Lean, who was a Holy Ghost missionary priest. And I started reading these books and was completely blown away by them. And the more I read, the more I found other books by the same authors. And it just struck me that here I was coming over from Ireland, having done all my studies for priesthood and been ordained and everything. And I had come to the US and discovered Irish spiritual writers who were forgotten in Ireland and yet were popular over here, you know. I'm sure many people here, I've been surprised at how many people are familiar with Eugene Boylan's book, This Tremendous Lover. And he's written other many great books as well. And in Ireland, I'd never come across these books, you know. And the same with Edward Lean, his book on the cross, Why the Cross, fantastic book. If anyone out there hasn't read it, I'd certainly recommend it. Also his book on prayer, Difficulties in Mental Prayer. Wonderful, wonderful books. And it just got me thinking that the Irish who wrote about their faith, you know, maybe in Ireland we take these things for granted, whereas in America people were that bit more enthusiastic about the contribution that Irish theologians could make. So I just had an idea of maybe trying to work with these writers, see what they had to say and produce something from it. So there are two of the authors I was working with. Also, Columba Marmion, who I've had great devotion to for many years, an Irish priest who became a Benedictine monk in Belgium, who's written some really, really beautiful stuff on our faith, particularly Christ, the Life of the Soul. If anyone hasn't read that book and looking for some good Catholic spiritual reading, I certainly recommend that. And then also Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary. The Legion of Mary started in Dublin in 1921 by Frank Duff, who was a layman. He worked for the government. And Frank Duff had a huge devotion to the Blessed Mother. He read the works by St. Louis Marie de Montfort and realised that if you have a devotion to the Blessed Mother, well then this is something that needs to... Our Blessed Mother needs to be brought into the lives of every person, because our Blessed Mother has a very gentle way of making the truths of our Catholic faith come to life in our ordinary day lives. And Frank Duff had this vision for lay people having a devotion to the Blessed Mother in a way that would spread the gift of faith to other people. So he basically called together a group of people to sit down and have a meeting on how to promote the works of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And that meeting effectively became the first meeting of the Legion of Mary. It just evolved into a weekly gathering and over time developed into what is now a Catholic organisation with 3 million members active in 171 countries around the world. And all lay people who come together with the sole intention of spreading the gift of faith under the care of our Blessed Mother. So I happened to stumble into the Legion of Mary when I was, 22 years of age. And at the time, I was somewhat lukewarm in my faith. You know, I had grown up in Ireland and Catholic family, but really didn't take my faith all that seriously. And when I was working in Dublin, I was invited to a Legion of Mary meeting and went along. And it really just changed my life, you know, to meet Catholics who were very sincere in their faith and very great devotion to our Blessed Mother, but in a way that they wanted to spread that gift of faith. And when I encountered the Legion of Mary and met lay people who took their faith so seriously, it prompted me to take my own faith that bit more seriously. And then getting involved with the Legion of Mary and the works they do, I could see that intrinsic relationship, I guess, between faith and charity, that the more we do for others, the more we grow in our faith, and the more our works are prompted by faith, well, the more the Lord is present in that, and how we grow in our own spiritual lives by passing the gift of faith to others. So encountering the Legion of Mary, that started a journey which eventually brought me to the Dominican Order, and thank God for them, because today, you know, I have the wonderful gift of being a Dominican priest, and I really owe that to Frank Duff and the Legion of Mary and the great work that they do. So,
Now you mentioned these great Irish spiritual writers. Is there, what is it that's distinctive about this specific Irish spirituality? Could you tell us what it is that you enjoy the most about it?
Yeah, good question. And I think that's really the whole purpose of why I started writing on these guys, to see what was the connection, if there was one. And it's still hard to pinpoint, but I think if there's something that characterizes the Irish spirituality, it would be, first of all, as I said, the missionary zeal, the willingness to spread our faith, but also, I guess, the cross. Now, I know the cross is something central to the church and every, you know, the Catholics all around the world, every saint, every spiritual writer recognizes the importance, the central place that the cross holds in our life. But I think this is something that the Irish could really, really contemplate it, and the mystery of suffering, and it really remains the greatest challenge to non-believers. How can a good God allow, you know, bad things happen to good people? But when we look at the cross, we recognize that it's actually God's love for us, and that all the difficulties and hardships and the disappointments we experience in this life, a greater good can be, you know, God turns everything around and transforms it into something infinitely greater. And of course, we see this ultimately on the crucifixion itself, that God being crucified by man, and yet it's led to the resurrection, the greatest event in history.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Patrick's, our pastor at St. Patrick's, Father Stephen Alcott, and a visitor from across the Atlantic, Father Colum Mannion of the Irish province of Dominicans. And we've been discussing the church in Ireland, and specifically the Irish spirituality. Now, do you think that devotion to the cross, is that rooted to some extent in the Irish experience of the church of centuries of persecutions, has given them a keen appreciation of suffering and the cross within the spiritual life?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, the Irish people really had to suffer for their faith, you know. And I think that made their faith all the more real, that it was through their suffering that they, you know, they kept close to the Lord. And I think that's really where the strong devotion to the Blessed Mother comes from. Because, you know, during the years of persecution in Ireland, after the Reformation took place, Irish was still under British rule at the time, and attempts were made to destroy the church in Ireland, but the Irish people really had to suffer for their faith, and I think turning to the Blessed Mother and the saints is what helped them persevere. Because, you know, we had to keep in mind that at the time the sacraments weren't allowed, no priests were allowed in the country. Occasionally Mass might be celebrated in secret somewhere if there was a priest hiding somewhere, but to the most extent the people were denied the sacraments, and they had no public places of worship, but what they had was the gift of the rosary, and it was turned to the Blessed Mother that generations of poor Irish people preserve the faith, handing down the faith through the mysteries of the rosary. This is what preserved the faith in Ireland, and I think that certainly has had a strong influence on the church, the present day church in Ireland. This understanding of the cross and how our sufferings unite us closer to Christ.
Yeah. One apparition or of Our Lady that's been approved by the church that many Catholics know little about, at least I know very little about, is Our Lady of Knock. And Father Bonas was saying earlier that she didn't say anything, you know, when she appeared. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about why that is.
Yeah, the apparition of Knock took place back in the year 1879. Knock is a small village in County Mayo, which is in the west of Ireland. And the west of Ireland was an area that was really hit bad by the famine. And the apparition in Knock took place in the year 1879, which was 20, 30 years after the peak of the famine. But in that part of Ireland, the poverty remained for many, many years afterwards. So this rural village in the west coast of Ireland, where people were living in real poverty and very poor land, very, very, very difficult conditions. And in August 22nd, 1879, at the back of the parish church, 22 villagers witnessed this apparition of the Blessed Mother standing crowned as Queen of Ireland. And to her left was St. John the Evangelist, dressed in a bishop's mitre, interestingly enough, and with the gospel in his hand. And on the right of our Blessed Mother was St. Joseph, with his hands joined in prayer and his head bowed down. And right behind the church, exactly where the tabernacle would be, on the outside of the church, there was an altar. And standing on the altar was a lamb and angels hovering over the lamb. Hmm. So Our Lady was over at the side looking at the altar with John the Evangelist and St. Joseph. And this apparition lasted for about an hour in the pouring rain. And 22 people, all ages, young and old, knelt down at this apparition. And no word was spoken, which is interesting, that Our Lady was standing there in silence. And I think the significance of that is because, really, what words could be spoken? I mean, they were looking at the lamb on the altar. Hmm. It was all directed towards the Mass, And I think if Our Lady had said something, it may have distracted from that. But this silence, the reverence of Our Lady, St. John, St. Joseph, all pointing towards the altar and the lamb and the angels hovering, it's a wonderful image. And in a sense, I don't think any words are necessary. So 22 people witnessed this, gave testimony to it, and Pope John Paul II came to Ireland in 1879 and approved it as a recognised shrine of the church. Mm-hmm. And of course, many miracles have been attributed to the place too. And even today, it's a wonderful centre for the Irish Church. Many people go there on pilgrimage, and it's really a very special place.
What have been some of the fruits of that apparition? Is it really become a major facet of Irish religious life?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, as I said, many people continue to go there on pilgrimage, and I go there myself anytime I'm back in Ireland. I go there a couple of times a year if I can. Every time I go, I'm always struck by the people I meet and the reasons that they're there. You always meet somebody there who's going with some special intention. And of course, you may never see them again, so you don't know exactly how their prayers have been answered. But I think the graces are still available. People still recognize it. People are still attracted, and miracles are still happening. And I've certainly met many people who have experienced many healings and have benefited from their pilgrimage there.
Yeah, it seems to connect really well to both the devotion to Our Lady of the Irish people, and also their missionary spirit. I was really fascinated by the concept of pilgrimage. I think it's something in our country. Some people make pilgrimages, maybe not so many. We don't have that many pilgrimage destinations in the U.S. But when I have been on pilgrimage over in Europe, I was just over with in Lourdes a few years ago, and no fewer than two different Irish dioceses are making an entire diocesan pilgrimage to Lourdes in France. And I know that that's something that the Irish are known for. Maybe you could speak a little bit about that, because I think that's something that we can learn from, and really adopt that whole spirituality of making a pilgrimage.
Yeah. I guess it's always been there in the Irish Church, and perhaps it reminds people of the communal aspect of the church. This idea of people coming together and going on a pilgrimage and learning from one another, but also experiencing another place, and encountering Christ somewhere else, and doing it as part of a group. I think that kind of really gives people a sense of the pilgrim church on earth, mm-hmm. And certainly in Ireland, there's a lot of pilgrimages, you know, on offer. Of course, many people go to Knock every year. Most parishes would organise an annual pilgrimage. We as Dominicans, as a Dominican province, have the second Sunday of October. Parishioners from all the Dominican parishes come together to gather, and it just reminds people. It gives people solidarity in their faith. You know, also we have the pilgrimage to Lough Derg, which maybe with St. Patrick coming up, it could be worth thinking of. Lough Derg is a little island up off the coast of County Donegal in the northwest of Ireland, and it's believed that St. Patrick went there himself and would spend nights in prayer on this little island. So since the time of St. Patrick right till today, people go up and spend a couple of nights on this island in prayer as part of a pilgrimage, you know. And there's a program to it where you have to spend all night. The first night you spend all night praying the rosary in the chapel. You don't wear any shoes or socks on the island. You have to fast for 3 days, and then you're allowed home after the end of it. And the amazing thing is that despite the challenge, despite how hard it is, people love it, and a huge amount of people go up there every year. And even people, strangely enough, even people who are not really practicing their faith, still go and make the pilgrimage. And this idea of taking time out, being with other people of like-minded faith, and coming to know the Lord better—it's something that really enriches and enhances our faith.
You know, one thing, you know, just listening to you talk about, especially about previously, distinctive things about the Irish spirituality, and you said, like the cross, because they really suffered for their faith. That really struck me. If someone asked me, like just off the cuff, if they asked me what I thought was distinctive about Irish spirituality, I'd say, well, they really know how to celebrate.
Yeah.
And joy, like there's a joy, look at like all throughout the United States, there's, everyone's celebrating St. Patrick's Day. You know, they see the joy of the Irish and they went in on it, you know. But it strikes me that what you said, you know, they really suffered for their faith, so they appreciate it and they're able to celebrate that and have that joy in it. Those two go together, like our Lord says, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. That beatitude, I think the Irish have both sides of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's part of the whole mystery of our faith is that we do find joy, you know, that when we can accept our sufferings and unite them with Christ, there is a joy, you know. Now, Jesus never promised that he'd take the cross away from us, but he did promise that he'd give us the strength to carry it. And I think that's an important difference to make, you know, that when we accept all the difficulties in life, you know, and everyone has crosses in some form or another, no matter what shape it takes, you know, everyone has some cross to carry. But when you united with our Lord, well, then there's a joy that comes with that. And I think maybe the Irish had that. I'm not sure if we're still as joyful as maybe we once were, but I hope so. I hope so.
Is there any last words of wisdom you want to share about the church in Ireland and what we as Americans can learn from that?
Well, no, actually, to be honest, it's quite the opposite. I've really learned a lot from the church here in America, and I think I'm the one going back to Ireland enriched from my time here, because I think the church here in the United States is going through a renewal. And you may find it's hard to believe, but coming from Ireland, where things are difficult in Europe and Ireland in particular, coming here to the US, it's been a breath of fresh air, and meeting so many people. So many Catholics committed to the faith, so many ideas on how to evangelize, and such zeal over here. It's been a breath of fresh air for me. So I just want to encourage people here in the U.S. to continue doing the great work that's going on here within the church in America.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Patrick's, our pastor at St. Patrick's, Father Stephen Alcott, and our Dominican Irish visitor, Father Colum Mannion. Let's end in prayer. O light of the church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, "Your sins are forgiven," there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's two or three little sins that you're carrying. There's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.